Would you guys pray with me? Dear God, help us to keep standing.
Help us to keep standing.
Even when everyone else is falling down. Even when everyone else is falling down. So that we can help.
So that we can
lift everybody up. Amen.
It's on it.
Yes. Let us pray. Christ, be in our lives. We need you. We are praying for Tom, for his upcoming surgery this week, for relief from the pain in his neck and shoulder. Lord, have mercy. Take care of Mary, whose fractured ankle makes life difficult. And Donna, whose injured knee is limiting. Bring healing, we pray. We lift up Terry as she deals with ongoing health complications, even as we celebrate with Gail following positive test results after months of waiting in the unknown. God bless Abby and Jeff as they get married this week. May their life together be filled with joy, love overflowing to all they meet. We pray too this morning for Aaron and Kim as they anticipate the birth of their son by Wednesday of this week. We pray for cousins Jeff and Linda and Aunt Carol. We pray for Darlene's great niece, who lost her 19-year-old remarkable son to a drug overdose. Lord, have mercy. We pray for all those who have lost dear loved ones as they grieve. Be with Karen and Mike following the death of Mike's dad on Friday morning. We lift up Cheryl and her family as they remember and celebrate Bob's life this week. We pray too for Terry's family as they continue to mourn his mother Lois and for Jim following the death of his grandmother. Be with Dick grieving the loss of an old friend, and the family of Wayne Eberly, who once pastored this church. Old tenderly, the Sugar Run Church of the Brethren, grieving their pastor who died last week. Christ be in our hearts, that we might keep on loving with faith beyond sight of your presence for those we have lost and their continued presence in our hearts. Lord, our sovereign, our majestic glory, our majesty on high, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in splendor, doing wonders? Majestic on high is the Lord. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and majesty now and forever. Lord, we pray this to you, O Lord, our Lord, because we need you. Christ, be in our eyes and in our ears. Help us to recognize your image in those around us, affirming the dignity of all your children. Make us part of your work toward healing racism, welcoming those on the margins of society, caring for the vulnerable, and serving as agents of true peace, following in your paths. Give us the courage to do what is right, even when it feels like we're standing alone. On this Father's Day, we thank you for the ways our fathers have cared for us. We pray for those who have lost their fathers, or those whose relationship with their own fathers is complicated. Heavenly Father, inspire us to be our best selves. Bring mentors into our lives to walk alongside, to invest in us, even as you give us opportunities to invest in others. Fill us with your dreams of a world made new, and give us the courage and the grace to work toward that vision together. In your name we pray. Amen.
It was the Great Migration, wildebeests and zebras as far as the eye could see. It's one of the perks of living in Africa while serving in the Peace Corps is that natural wonders like the Serengeti Plain are close at hand. So a group of friends and I went on safari. It was incredible. The wildebeest and the zebra were migrating. The herds were massive. And with them came the lions. Now, we never saw an actual hunt, but we saw the aftermath in a few places. Prides of lions feasting. And when one of the lions would get up to roam or to go down to the water for a drink, all of the other animals would give them a wide berth. They knew what the lions were capable of. All of the other animals bowed before the kings and queens of the plain, all except for one, that is. Over the next few weeks, we find ourselves in the book of Daniel, in these strange tales from the latter parts of the Hebrew scriptures. The book of Daniel is set during the Jews' exile in Babylon in the 6th century BC, after King Nebuchadnezzar has laid waste to Jerusalem and taken its people captive. Certain promising individuals were chosen from among the captives to be trained in the royal palace as government officials helping manage the empire. Four of these young men were Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or so the story goes. Now, when our story opens, King Nebuchadnezzar has set up a giant golden statue of ridiculous proportions. It's 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. This is a statue destined to fall. But he's proud of it. And he calls together all of the officials, all of the chief administrators, ministers, governors, counselors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the provincial officials. He calls them to assemble before the statue and he makes a pronouncement. Whenever you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, zither, lyre, harp, flute, and every kind of instrument, you must bow down and worship the gold statue that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have set up. These lists, as W. Sibley Towner points out, lend the story an almost humorous tone, in that the little orchestra becomes the signal for a mass obeisance by all the toadies of the kingdom. It all has the playful feel of a storyteller's elaboration. But of course, this playfulness covers a dark threat. For anyone who fails to bow down before the statue will be thrown into the fiery furnace. And here's the thing, the Babylonians were ruthless, but there's no evidence that they ever executed anyone for religious non-compliance. That doesn't happen to the Jews until much later, under the rule of a Greek tyrant named Antiochus IV. Now, he sets up a statue to Zeus in the Holy of Holies of the temple, and he commands everyone to worship it under the penalty of death. In fact, most all of the book of Daniel actually reads more like it's from the reign of Antiochus than from the age of Babylon. The Jews recognize this. In the Hebrew scriptures, the stories of Daniel are grouped together with the writings and stories, not together with the histories and prophets. Daniel isn't written to try and trick people into thinking it's older than it actually is. This was just the convention for apocalyptic writings of the time, to tell the story in a historical setting, in order to give it some distance so that we could see more clearly the choices before them in their own time. Whenever you place the writing of the book of Daniel, its readers in the time of Antiochus would certainly hear very real echoes of the dark threat facing them as well. The king in this story, as with Antiochus, is using worship as a way of consolidating power. The king is trying to fabricate unity by enforcing conformity. Faced with the king's edict, these three young Jewish exiles, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refuse to bow. They are faithful followers of the Lord, and they will not worship the king's graven image. other courtiers of the king see an opportunity to rise at the expense of their rivals. They report the three's defiance to the king, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are called before Nebuchadnezzar. He gives them one last chance. It would have been so easy to go along with it. It's the only action that makes sense, really. They are powerless. He is the king. The whole empire has already fallen in step, bowing before the statue. The pressure to conform is intense. I think of our own country in the midst of moments of nationalistic fervor after September 11th, for example, as the drumbeat moved us inexorably toward war. Where are the drumbeats leading us now, I wonder? What is the pressure to conform, to join in warring camps, this one or the other? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are called before the king. One last chance. But still, they stand. We were out on safari, and the pride of lions was menacing. All of the other animals would give them a wide berth. When there came the sound of a crashing through the brush, and out stepped a herd of elephants. As these mammoth creatures made their way to the water to drink, even the lions got out of their way. I've often thought about that since. The elephants weren't predators. They weren't out hunting for a meal. They were just in control of themselves. They were sure of who they were, and even the lions were changed by their presence. W. Sibley Towner again on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There is something remarkable in the calm solidarity of the young men who have an absolutely firm grip upon their own identity and who know clearly what they are commanded to do, standing before the towering, wrathful authority. They hold on to themselves. They remember who they are and do the right thing. Now, it would be easy to see this story as a story about God's power, about God's miraculous deliverance, as an answer to the menacing threat of the king, what God will save you from my power? And that hope is here, a hope that gives courage to our siblings in faith in Nigeria, for example, as church after church is attacked. But here too is this declaration. Right there at the center of the passage, the three young men reply, "We don't need to answer your question. If our God, the one we serve, is able to rescue us from the furnace of flaming fire and from your power, let him rescue us. But if not, your majesty, we will still never serve your gods or worship the golden statue that you have set up." Their faithfulness is not dependent upon their deliverance. They stand against the king, stand against the nationalistic fervor, and ultimately their faithfulness changes the nation. They remain faithful to God, and God stands with them, even in the fiery furnace. Even the tyrant king is then redeemed, and ultimately the nation with him. This is a story that shows care and concern even for the heart of the tyrant. It's that hope that lies at the center of this story. The hope that our simple acts of faithfulness, even when we feel powerless in the struggle against the powers of this age, powerless against the tide of division and violence and darkness all around, there is hope, hope beyond hope, that our simple acts of faithfulness and God's faithful presence will yet transform the world. May it be so. Amen. Friends, may we go from this place acting in hope, standing together in acts of simple faithfulness that might yet transform the world. Amen.
Good morning, you guys.